Dub Nation, this is Brandon Pajemski, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. You're listening to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, Pod's gonna get his tonight. I know it. OKC's in town. No Curry, no Draymond, no Butler, no Melton. But Pods will be out there.
You know,
Pods can dunk.
Well,
I get a lot of this.
When he's downwind.
I get a lot of this. It's funny because I read all the comments. I love the comments. I love the interaction.
Yeah, that's where you and I are different, man. It sticks with me, man. You're able to flush it easier than I can.
I like talking to the people. We just having a conversation. Now, if they want to get disrespectful, that's when I get disrespectful. And then it's all bad for everybody, especially for me. But since I'm on the Pod's payroll, apparently, I'm just going to point out in 13 December games for Brandon Pajemski, shooting 51.7% from the floor, shooting 44.4% from the three-point line, 26 minutes, 13 points, 4 rebounds, 3.5 assists. Only 26 turnovers in the month of December in 13 games, right? 2 turnovers a game. Not bad.
Especially on this team.
Right? We're the worst teams in the league when it comes to turnovers. And you don't win that game the other day against Charlotte New Year's Eve if he doesn't hit those 3 threes in the fourth quarter.
And this is the thing. I feel like his numbers in the month of December, that's who he is.
Yep.
He's a player that, yeah, he's not here to score 25.
Mm-hmm.
But he might be the 16 that helps you bridge those non-Curry minutes. He could play with Jimmy. He's knocking down some shots. He can close, but he doesn't have to. You're not reliant on him. He's gravy right now, and that's where he should be. The Warriors should not be in a position to where he has to be integral to what you're doing.
No doubt.
But he can absolutely help you. He's a good player.
No doubt. And look, he's playing, and he's one of your only ball handlers. We talk about ball handlers on this basketball team. You know, guys who could try to create shots for others. He's one of the few that you have. He is. So he's not making a lot of money on this team. So the way the people talk about him, they act like he's a $25 million a year player. He's not. He makes $3.9 million. You're not getting bad production from Brandon Pajemski right now. Now, when it comes to Jonathan Kuminga, and you know, we talk about the, because we can talk about all the drama we want, Evan. And I know we got full phone lines here. We get to Softy at 1 o'clock. Got a lot. It's fun to be back, Evan. These flowers of, I like doing this with you, man. This has been fun.
Well, I was gonna say this show's
flying by, man.
We only got an hour left.
I was like, damn, what are we gonna talk about? But listen, Kuminga tonight, the key for him. In my opinion, the last time we really saw him play big minutes was in that Cleveland game on a Saturday night. He was 1-for-10.
Mm-hmm.
To me, he gets too caught up in the perimeter. Dribble, dribble, dribble. He's got to cut. He's got to play in that dunker spot. He's got to crash to the basket. He's got to play in that mid-block, elbow area. Get off the perimeter. Stop trying to dribble. Just don't. You don't need to do that tonight. Tonight is your night. Cut to the basket. Dunk on people's head. Get to the free throw line and defend at the point of attack. Don't overcomplicate it. And that way, I think he can move forward here by just playing better basketball. Because when he starts dribbling, Evan, you watch all the games. You cover the games. You do the post-game show, you and Grandy. He gets caught up dribbling on the perimeter and trying to go one-on-one, and that's where he gets himself into trouble.
That's what happened against OKC last time. Last time he got to play, that was in OKC. I mean, there's one sequence where he was dribbling up against Shea, you know, tried to do something with it, and Shea just took the ball. just give me the ball. All right. Let's open up the phone lines until we get to Softy. Again, Giddings, Bonte Hill in for Steiny and Guru. Who's been hanging on the longest? Let's go to George, who's in Los Altos. George, what's up, man?
Oh, George.
How you doing?
What's up, George?
I'm doing good, man. Bonte, I miss you so much, brother.
I appreciate you, man. I miss you too, George.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Evan, real quick, quick story.
Mm-hmm.
George. Oh, no, excuse me, not George. I'm sticking to coaching Los Altos. I got you mixed up. But, George, I do love you. I miss talking to you.
Same here, my man. I mean, listening to you, look, all of our callers, including me, have the right to our opinion. But just listening to you and your knowledge based on what's really going on with the Warriors really can't be replaced. And so I know when you say something about it, I know that I can count on it. But I also had a couple of things I wanted to say. First, about the Niners. And you'll remember, Bonte, I'm always Mr. Glass Half Full.
Yep.
I'm going to find a reason to be positive, and we're going to win it this year, and yada, yada. I don't see the 49ers winning a Super Bowl unless we stay alive long enough to get Fred Warner back, if at all.
Mm.
If Fred Warner can come back by the NFC Championship game, including we're lucky enough to get there, I think they got a chance to win the chip. He makes that much of a difference to the defense, not only in our ability to stop the run, but also just the aura that he brings out there to the team and the way he gets those guys to play 50% harder than they already do. So I'm really, really hoping that he does get a chance to come back. And then finally, I got something way offbeat. Bonte, are you telling me that you pick out your own clothes, or does your lady friend pick out your own clothes?
What do you think, George? Come on, man. That ain't him.
George, you know, why? Am I doing a good job, or am I doing a lousy job?
No, you're doing too good a job. No, I'll tell you.
No, it's not just me,
yeah,
George.
He's on to you.
No, listen. Hey, I know my weaknesses. Fashion is definitely not one of my strengths.
Well, I'll tell you, no one wears shoes and socks like you do, brother. I got to tell you, they're bad. They're bad, baby.
I appreciate it, George. Good to hear from
Thanks,
you, man.
George,
Happy
appreciate
New Year.
The call.
No, I always need help. I'm always texting her pictures. Hey, does this go well? And also text my boy from Men's Warehouse, my boy Sandy. Sandy, who I've been dealing with since I got the television job. Hey, Sandy, what do you think about this combo? And he gets right back to me. Credit to him. They're packed at Men's Warehouse Tacoma all the time. I don't know how he has time to get on the phone. Yeah, Bonte, that's good. Maybe you do the brown shirt. Maybe you do this, you do that. It's fashion, man. I'm terrible, man. I'm a sweats and t-shirt guy.
Well, I get right now I have two suits, but I make sure I got 17 different suit combinations. You mix up the ties, you mix up the shirts.
There you go.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Dry cleaning is expensive, man.
They are.
All right, let's go to, let's get to Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, I know you wanted to talk about the Niners. I'm sorry we kind of moved on from that, but the floor is yours, my man. Happy holidays and happy New Year. What's up? Mitchie. Oh. Mitch!
Oh, Mitch!
Damn, Mitch!
He's at the airport or
Let
something?
Let me hang in!
Damn,
oh,
Mitch!
I thought he was there. That one's... Oh, God. All right, well, call back on Saturday. Devon will take it. Scott's in San Francisco. Scotty, what's up, baby? How you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Bonte, nice to hear your voice.
Appreciate you.
Been listening to the show for a long time. Long-time Warriors fan. Going to the game tonight. Was super excited. Got good tickets. Now I hear the big three are out. Disappointed. I'm a teacher in the Bay Area, so I'm not rich. So I want someone to get me hyped up. I mean, obviously I get to see SGA and the champs, so that's cool. But hype me up for this game tonight.
Well, we're going to get a chance to see the youngsters, right? And we're going to get a chance to see who can set the tone for the next 11. You'll see some Pods. You'll see some Kuminga. You'll see some TJD. You'll see Al Horford as the veteran with this unit. And you're playing the champs. This is a perfect barometer. Hey, look, say if the Warriors lose by 5 tonight, but it's a competitive game. That means the youngsters played up to their capabilities and more. Guy Santos flying around the floor. You think Guy Santos is not going to play hard and try to give you your money's worth? There you go. I just sold it to you.
Well, right, this is all I'll sell it. Scott, you remember what it was like 20 years ago in 2006? That's what it's going to be tonight.
No!
The marquee's not being sold.
It's not going to be 2006.
It's not about the Warriors,
Chase
man.
Chase Center would be sold out, Scott. It's a Friday night. You got Thrive City. It's going to be buzzing. Hey, the energy will be through the roof, Scott. Come on now. Now tell me that I got you ready to go, right? Come on now.
He's all hyped up. Yeah, come on down. The Golden State Warriors at the Oakland Arena are playing the Los Angeles Lakers, and Kobe Bryant is in town. Come on down.
Well, you got the Sportsman of the Year in town.
Yeah.
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah, you can see SGA. You can see J-Dub. You can see Chet. Right. Come on. Shea Center's still a place for all the stars. They just won't be wearing the blue and gold.
Oh, hey. Be careful. Be careful.
I know. Warriors.com if you want to still get tickets for tonight. All right. Let's wrap up with Mitch. Mitch, who's in New Jersey. He's back. Mitch, I'm so sorry, man. I took a call. You weren't there, but I get you right back on. Mitchie.
Hey, it's me, not you. It's my phone.
No. You're good. It's all me, Mitch. What do you got?
Floor we take accountability around here, Mitch.
Yeah, I know. It's my phone. You get what you pay for. I pay a lot of money. I understand this phone doesn't work all the time, but, you know, it's not rocket science with these cell phones. Anyway, happy and healthy New Year to your families. Thanks for taking my call. Two things with the 49ers. I think if they win that division, I think you got to give the coach, Kyle Shanahan, the coach of the year. And I think you got to consider Chris McCaffrey. If he gets that 1,000 yards to receive in rushing, I think he should get the MVP. Not Drake. Man, how about Cher? Can they share have a co-MVP? Is that so impossible?
Yeah.
They actually did. Yeah.
Peyton Manning and Steve McNair.
2004.
Co-MVPs.
And then I think Norm Van Brocklin was a co-MVP back in the 60s.
That's good knowledge right there.
But yeah, wow, Mitch, they have done it before.
Okay, so maybe that would happen. Go 49ers. It's going to be a great NFC. It's going to be a great playoffs. Postseason is always great, usually.
No doubt, Mitch. Thanks for the call,
just
man.
Just like the college.
No doubt. No doubt. By the way, I was joking about the Warriors. Come on.
Oh, Brett Favre and Barry Sanders, 1997.
Oh, good call.
I just Googled it. That's all. Because I'm more interested in Norm Van Brocklin. When you go back to 1960, now you trigger something with me.
Well, I remember.
I love that.
I remember reading about it because, yeah, it was the first time it had ever happened. And like some of the old MVPs, oh, God, what was it? Mark Mosley in 81 was a kicker for Washington. Yeah, one MVP.
83 to strike short
season.
What a
joke.
The one bar, Mosley, winning the MVP.
Statistics are good for something.
They screwed the Niners in that game, by the way. They were down 21-0, rallied back, tied it. They called the most phantom pass interference on Ronnie Lott. One-year-old Bonte still pissed off about that.
One-year-old Bonte.
I just reveal my age. Well, getting up there. The grays, man? The grays are there's a lot of stress going on these days.
Not as many
man.
As Draymond. We're about a minute away from Softy Molly here coming on. Do you remember your first like ever memory as a human?
First memory as a human?
Yeah. Like, I don't know, maybe you peed your pants. Oh, you're really embarrassed when you're 3 years old. Not that I'm speaking from experience or anything, but...
First memory as a human, I just remember being in like this car seat kind of like I was in a stroller.
Going to Candlestick?
No, I was in a house and I was just looking out the window the whole damn time and buses were coming by back and forth. I don't know why that always is just the most bland memory ever, but I remember that for some reason.
No, it's as long as it's the first one. I feel like the first memory I ever had was like walking in a hospital. I don't know. I think I was 2 years old or something. Can't really remember, but I had a little lion toy. That's all I remember.
A little lion toy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I just remember just like we
I am a Leo.
Yeah, you are. Oh, no wonder we get along. Virgos and Leos are very compatible.
Now that I didn't know. I'm not big on the
horoscopes.
No, I haven't been in a relationship long enough to learn too much about those. Maybe one day. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. Obviously, the Warriors taking on OKC tonight. The news from the mouth of the head coach, Coach Kerr. No Curry, no Jimmy, no Draymond. And we also found out afterwards, no Melton. So a lot of run for a lot of players against OKC. And right now,
Before we get softy, can wait 20 seconds. I just wonder if Scott...
He's about to let it out.
What do you think, Scott? Sold his tickets or is he fired up for the game? Did I do a good sell job or did you bring him back?
Well, you did
there?
A better job than me. I didn't really sell it whatsoever.
All right, bring in Softy. Let's go ahead and bring in this. Let's bring in Softy Baller.
All guests.
I want to hear how he's going to cry tomorrow.
On 95.7 The Game, up here on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop before you unload, before Softy lets you have it? We got to introduce our guy from 93.3 KGR in Seattle, hosts a daily talk show, has done it for years. Dave Softy Mahler joining us now on the River Islands guest line. I mean, Softy, I don't know what to do with this guy. He's so hyped up for tomorrow. I'm sure you are as well, but the floor is yours. Let him have it.
Yeah, first of all, let me just say this. You and I have talked many, many times on our show back in Seattle. Bonte, you as well. I know, you know, Evan, you're a young guy trying to get, you know, footing in this business.
One day.
Let me just give you some advice, pal. All right, you ready? This is free advice from me to you.
Hit me.
Whatever Bonte does, just do the opposite. That'd be fine, okay? Do not take any advice from that guy sitting next to you at all.
Okay? I agree.
Otherwise, you'll be sitting next to that guy the rest of your life, and nobody wants that, trust me.
Nobody wants that. My family doesn't even want me.
Here you are. You're already talking smack about the game tomorrow. I mean, this is what I hate and what I love about this rivalry is that it just turns all of us into complete and total meatheads. Seriously. I mean, I know it's not as bad as that guy in the morning. What's his name? Barbie Boy? Whatever the hell his name is.
Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Leave Butcher Boy alone. He's not here to defend himself.
His name is Joe.
You know better. Joe Shasky.
Listen, I'm just partly playing with you, but it just turns all of us into complete just freaking Neanderthals. Yeah, we're going to kick your ass. Yeah, Seahawks suck. Niners rule. Ah, yeah, yeah. Dude, this is a freaking toss-up tomorrow, man.
It is.
I mean, honestly, this game kind of reminds me of what people thought about the 2013 NFC Championship that we played in Seattle, which, if, in case you forgot, the Seahawks won on a Richard Sherman tip pass.
Thanks.
You young folks out there that don't know what the hell we're talking about here, that these might be the two best teams in the NFL going at it tomorrow at Levi Stadium.
You know, Softy, I wanted to ask you about that because Evan asked me where this rivalry was at. And it felt like it lost some of its sizzle once Pete Carroll moved on. Obviously, we had the great 2019 game, the one the Niners won in the last week of the season. Don't know if you remember that one. Drake Greenlaw with the tackle.
Yeah, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, I know. Niners got the number one seed. But where is this rivalry at up in Seattle? Because I know the Niners have won 7 of 8. And we've been looking. I think there's the makings, there's components here to bring this rivalry back to where it was a decade ago. You got the Darnold angle. Mike McDonald is a defensive wizard. You got this nasty defense. Jackson Smith and Jigba, I think he's the best receiver under the age of 25. And heck, he's in the argument for already being a top five receiver in the NFL. Where's this rivalry at up there in the Pacific Northwest?
Well, I think it's great. It's not where it was with Carroll and Harbaugh, obviously, because Carroll and Harbaugh kind of took whatever beef they had in college and took it to the NFL, as you guys know, you know. And so you had that angle going on, obviously. You had a much more boisterous defensive secondary in Seattle back in the day. You guys know, led by Richard Sherman, who all you guys did was crap on, and then he comes and plays for you, and you love the guy, right? But you saw what that guy's all about. You saw what a Richard Sherman-led defense in Seattle was all about. All the talking going on, all the barking going on. And there's just really none of that right now. And I don't know if it's because of the personalities of the coaches or just the way people are behaving today versus maybe 13, 14 years ago. But I miss it, man. You know, I miss the barking going back and forth between players. I love the fact that D'Amador Lenore is shooting his mouth off before this game tomorrow against Jackson Smith and Jigba. You know, that's fuel for his fire, which I think is phenomenal. He's going to eat a lot of crow if JSN has a big game tomorrow. And I'm really curious to see if Robert Saleh lets him go one-on-one and travel with JSN. I doubt he will, but we'll see how much one-on-one coverage he gets against Jackson Smith and Jigba in this game tomorrow. But look, man, I mean, this is going to be a lame answer, but you guys know as well as me, the better these teams are, the better this rivalry is, right? We're not talking about, you know, 7-9 versus, you know, 5-11, for God's sakes. We're talking about two teams that are fighting for the number one seed in the NFC. And I've said this on my show. I don't know what you guys think down there. I mean, Bonte, you mentioned the 2019 game. You guys all remember that playoff game in 2022. Mm-hmm. This feels like the second biggest game between the Seahawks and Niners in their rivalry history.
Wow.
Only number two to that 2013 NFC Championship because, the wild card game in 22 was obviously for a trip to the second round. This is for a guaranteed trip to the second round. Home field, you guys playing potentially the Super Bowl at Levi Stadium.
Wow.
And if you don't play, the Seahawks being able to walk into your stadium, pitching a freaking 12th man flag on the 50-yard line, making love to that grass, that sweet grass in Santa Clara.
Here you go.
With our Hawks out, okay? In your stadium with the 12th man invading Levi Stadium, which is only 1,000 miles away from Seattle. You factor in all that stuff that we're talking about. And I don't know.
Wow.
I just got a funny feeling that whoever wins this game tomorrow is going to win the NFC.
And this
game to me is the second biggest game they've played behind that 2013 game.
Wow, that's incredible. That well said there, Softy. You even have this higher than the 2019 game because I felt like the 2019 game was a coming of age. And in a way, it's similar in this sense, Softy. Shanahan was trying to make his way in the league, trying to debunk all the narratives about him blowing the Super Bowl for Atlanta, and Pete Carroll was there, and that's for the number one seed. They go up to Seattle. Remember, that was the Niners' first win in Seattle since 2011 when Harbaugh got there with Alex Smith, Christmas Eve. And then you think about this game, McDonald, Who is he? As a D coordinator with the Ravens, we know what he did there. But now he's trying to make his way in Seattle and trying to really dethrone Shanahan as a head honcho in the NFC West. But you have this ahead of the 2019 game. Very curious to that. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, I just think there's a lot of reasons for that. Maybe one of them is I'm just living in the moment and I'm a victim of recency bias, which I will certainly potentially admit to doing that. But I just feel like there's way more parity in the NFL right now than there was in 2019, guys, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, in 2019, you're talking about a Ravens team that was 14-2. The Chiefs were 12-4. The Packers were 13-3. The Saints were good that year. It doesn't feel like there's any team that anybody should be scared of in the NFL. I mean, maybe teams are scared of the Niners. Maybe they're scared of Seattle. I don't know what other fan bases feel. You guys can give me your thoughts on that in a second. But I just feel like as a Seahawks fan, and I kind of assume you agree, that I don't fear anybody. I mean, yeah. Mahomes is out of the way. Jackson seems to be out of the way. Josh Allen seems to be out of the way. I mean, what are we talking about? Old man Stafford, Drake May, Caleb Williams, you know, players like that. The parity in the NFL, and you guys know as well as I, the NFL does parity better than anybody. Mm-hmm. They are doing it big time this year. This thing is wide freaking open. I didn't feel like that 5 years ago.
Soft Yamal of KGR in Seattle joining us here on 95.7 The Game. And since you said take the other road from Bonte, I'm going to just be Switzerland here and not go down your road the way Bonte did.
That's no fun. Come on, man.
but if you want me to be honest, I think the whole reason it hasn't been much of a rivalry is because last few years, Seattle hasn't really held up its end of the bargain.
That's fine.
Since...
And there's years where you guys suck, too. Don't forget that.
We're old, Softy. We don't remember those days.
Okay, I did want to ask you about the NFC, because I think one of the reasons why it hasn't felt as big recently is because there's been a third wheel. Like, the Rams have also been in the middle of all of this, and...
Right.
What you guys did to them on that Thursday night was incredible. That game was probably the best of the year, up there with the Niners, of course, against the Bears. But do you feel like the Rams have, I don't know, like weaseled their way into this sort of NFC West rivalry? And if you were going to power rank the three teams, because I think they're potentially the three best teams in the NFC, how would you slot them right now?
Yeah, I mean, for me right now, it's Seahawks 1, Niners 1A, and then the Rams are number 2. Guys, I just think the Rams have hit some kind of a wall. I don't know what it is. I mean, when you've got a meaningless game on Sunday and McVay is coming out saying we got to play our guys because we got to start realizing how we play football. I mean, that's not what coaches do unless they're desperate. I think McVay is desperate to get that thing back on track. I think the Hawks may have broken them a little bit in that Thursday night game. Mm. I mean, I don't know how much of that game you guys saw, but the first three quarters, Sean McVay was whipping Mike McDonald. I mean, it was shocking, actually, to see what McVay was doing to McDonald in that game. Because, you look, we all know McVay is a genius, offensive mind, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But Mike McDonald is one of the elite defensive minds on the planet, and he was taking him to school in that game. So for them to give that game away, partially because of special teams, and that's one of the differences, mm-hmm. guys, with this Seahawks team that you'll see tomorrow versus the one that you saw in week one, there was no Rashid Shaheed on that team, and he's now here. And he's been amazing on special teams. He's been amazing as a runner with the ball, pass catcher, doesn't run it a lot, but when he does, fly sweeps, jet sweeps, it's normally for big games. There's no question about that. So that's a dynamic on this football team that they just did not have in week one of the NFL season. So I think you're looking at a different team than you saw in week one. I think the defense is better than they were in week one because Tariq Woolen's playing better. He was the guy you were really picking on in that first game. In Seattle, he's been stepping up lately, but I just think the arrival of Rashid Shaheed changes the dynamic a bit for the Seahawks offense. So I'd say the Seahawks and Niners are right there and the Rams are right behind them.
That was a sneaky move to get Shaheed from New Orleans. We saw him in week two with the Saints. Guy has speed. He's a deep threat. He takes the top off the defense. You have to account for him, no doubt, but it's all about Sam Darnold, right? Tomorrow, it's a big game for Sam Darnold. As you guys have won six in a row, it felt like he's been able to erase that four interception day down at SoFi Stadium against the Rams. Guy should have won that game. He throws four picks, you lose by two. But now that you've won six in a row, this is the same game that he had last year with Minnesota, where he goes to Detroit for the number one seed and he lays an egg, and then we know what happened in the wild card game. Where are Seahawks fans? Where are you guys at with Sam Darnold? Yeah. Is he playing the best football of his young career?
I mean, I think overall he is, because up until last year he was a nobody, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not exactly, you know, the standard isn't really high. The bar isn't that high. I mean, you're talking about a guy who just had to get out on the field, for God's sakes, and play. And now all of a sudden in the last 2 years, I mean, Bonte, the guy's 27-6 as a starting quarterback in his last 33 games. I mean, he's kind of getting used to winning. You know, yeah, I know that includes the Ram game in the playoffs and the Lion game a year ago, but he's been unbelievable. I mean, everywhere this guy goes, he wins games. And the big difference between him this year and him last year, he's not taken nearly as many sacks as he did a year ago in Minnesota. That's partially because the Seahawks offensive line is better than what he had in Minneapolis. But, you know, I mean, you just said it there that this is all about Sam Darnold. And I don't know if I agree with that, man. I mean, honestly, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the quarterbacks, and Brock Purdy's playing his balls off the last three games, and I'll give him credit. That game he had against Chicago, I'm not sure how good the Bears' defense is, but that game he had against Chicago was impressive as hell. I mean, that run that he had, you know, near the goal line, man, that was some Michael Vick stuff going on. So really impressed with what Brock Purdy's been doing lately. But here's the thing about the Seahawks. They're going to go as far as their defense takes them. This is just like, in some ways, the 2013 team. The difference is they don't have the running game they had in 2013, and they don't have the mobility at quarterback they had in 2013 with Russell Wilson. A lot of people talk about the turnovers, and, hey, rightfully so. The guy's got 20 turnovers, for God's sakes. But you know what? Seven of them came in two games against Arizona and L.A., right? I'm not excusing it. He threw four picks against the Rams. He was terrible. But the Seahawks are so good on defense that they were within a 61-yard field goal of winning a game that they had no right to be in, because Sam Darnold threw four picks and their defense bailed them out time and time again. So to me, this really isn't about Sam Darnold. It's about the Seahawks defense. And if the Seahawks defense does what they've done the last maybe 2 or 3 months, they're going to be hard to beat, dude. I don't care who's playing them. This defense is awesome.
You brought up that running game, and I agree. We'll get to the defense in just a second. I know Evan asked some questions about that, but that running game with Kenneth Walker and Charbonnet, those are two really good backs, in my opinion, on paper. What has gone on with that running game? Is that an O-line problem? Is that a running back issue? Because I would expect you guys to run the ball a lot better with the talent you have in that backfield.
Yeah, well, the problem with Kenny Walker to me, and I don't really understand what they're doing with him, They should be using him like you guys use McCaffrey, right? Like, not that he's going to be McCaffrey. Nobody's McCaffrey besides McCaffrey. But Kenny Walker should be catching 45, 50 passes a year out of the backfield. And I don't know why he's not. It's been kind of a thing that's flummoxed us in Seattle for the last couple of months. Zach Charbonnet seems to be the number one guy, and then they'll give Kenny Walker the ball, and he'll pop for 100 yards, and then he won't be seen again for the next, you know, 13, 14 quarters in a row. So it really, truly is a two-headed monster, Bonte, at running back with Zach Charbonnet and Kenny Walker. Look, their offensive line is just not as good run blocking as they are pass blocking. I mean, I think, you know, there's no doubt. There's a reason why Pro Football Focus, you know, ranks offensive lines by pass blocking, run blocking, the whole thing. And they're just not as good against the run or, you know, running the ball as they are throwing the ball. So that's something that's got to change over the offseason. They have a bit of a weak link at right guard with Anthony Bradford. Oh, he's been playing better. And now on Saturday, the real question is, what the hell's happening at left tackle? Because Charles Cross is out. Josh Jones is questionable. I think he's going to play. But if Josh Jones doesn't go, they're going to have to go to an undrafted rookie, a kid out of UCF named Amari Knight, who they just brought up from the practice squad. And if you're Robert Saleh, I mean, you got to be smelling blood at that left tackle spot going right after that kid. They're going to have to keep guys home like Barner to help out and block for that guy. Sam Darnold has not been good against the blitz at all. That's when he makes the majority of his mistakes. So I'm really curious to see what Robert Saleh does pressure-wise against Sam Darnold, especially if Josh Jones can't play at left tackle tomorrow, man.
Softy Mahler with us here on 95.7 The Game. My last one for you, Softy, is, you know, look, tomorrow it's the other factor that applies to this game is weather. We got an 80% chance of precipitation, and I'm with you that the Niners this year, especially since Brock Purdy's been back, they've won games with their offense as opposed to Seattle. Sure, Darnold's been great, and Smith and Jigba's been great, but they've been led by their defense. My last one for you is just, you know, what does, not your heart, What does your brain tell you about what's going to happen tomorrow, and who do you think is going to be the one seed coming out of the NFC?
I mean, if I had to bet everything I owned, and if I'm wrong, I'm moving in and living in Bonta's bathroom, I'd probably pick you guys because you're at home. I mean, I mean, to me, it's a toss-up, but I think, again, this is a different Seahawks football team than what we saw in week one. And the concern that I would have for you guys is that the Seahawks offense, despite the fact that Darnold does have a few turnovers, like we said, 7 of the 20, though, came over a two-game stretch, right? So the other 14 games, he's only got 13 turnovers total in 14 games. I mean, I would take that every freaking week and run if I'm a quarterback in the NFL. So what Sam Darnold shows up? Is it the guy that, you know, couldn't complete a pass to his own receivers against the Rams? Or is it the guy that's been money, for the most part, in every other game this year? Only thing Sam Darnold needs to avoid is the real costly turnover that comes, like, inside the Seahawks 20-yard line, right? Inside their own 10, inside their own red zone. That's what he's got to avoid, man. So I just think, again, this is an absolute toss-up in this game tomorrow. I think the weather probably benefits you guys. Don't forget, the Seahawks have been very, very good throwing the ball downfield. Yeah. Sam Darnold's one of the best, you know, deep passers in the NFL. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, nobody's been able to stop this guy. Every single week, he's just going bananas, and I don't get it. You know, it was Cooper Kupp, it was Torrey Horton alongside him, and it didn't matter. You know, people would try and take him away, and they just couldn't do it. So the chess match between Clint Kubiak and Robert Saleh, the chess match, obviously, between Kyle Shanahan and Mike McDonald, all those things are phenomenal for the game tomorrow. But if I were to bet the game, which I'm not going to, but if I were, I'd probably put the money on you guys. But again, nothing would surprise me in this game tomorrow. Nothing.
Hey, at least my bathroom smells good, Softy. I don't know if you can say the same.
That's not what I was told, by the way.
No, I'm sure you can say the same. Hey, look, if the Seahawks win, lose my number, okay? I'm not coming out of the show if the Seahawks win.
Yeah, by the way, if they win, I will not rub it in on social media, and also I'm lying.
Softy, thank you so much, man, and appreciate the
year,
beautiful
brother.
Banter between you and Bonta, as always.
Happy New Year, Softy.
Before we go, honestly, how much does your defense scare you after what you saw against the Bears?
A lot.
We've been talking about this all week, all season. The best defense for the 49ers is their offense. They have to put up at least 30 to be in these games, and watching Chicago, we're like, well, it may take 40. And that's how they're going to have to win because this defense, I think Softy, 18 sacks, seven on the season?
Right. And one of the guys that had all of them, especially the one week one, ain't on the team anymore because he's hurt.
Yeah. So there you go.
Well, I mean, to me, the two best defenses in the NFL are in Seattle and Houston.
Yep.
So
yep.
I would always, always rather have the best defense than the best offense. And it again, reminds me of the 2013 game where you guys kind of had the offense. We kind of had the defense, and the defense won the day. You know, I remember going to that Michigan game with Mike Penix, you know, a couple years ago against the Wolverines. Huskies had the great offense. Michigan had the great defense. And I remember saying on the air, you know, God, I just would rather have the great defense. I got no choice because the Huskies offense is phenomenal. But you saw what that Michigan defense did to Mike Penix and the Huskies that day. So I just think the defense usually wins the day. So I changed my mind. Seahawks win the game.
That was easy.
Thank you, man. Hey, enjoy the game and appreciate your
Happy
time.
Happy New Year, Softy.
Happy New
Thanks
Year.
For coming
right,
on, brother.
Happy New Year, boys. See ya.
All right, Softy Mullen. Well, actually, so I want to throw this at you because he mentioned the 2013 game, and obviously that was a heartbreaker. But this offense is better than that 2013 offense, no?
This Niners offense?
Yes.
Oh, not even close.
I mean, the defense ain't in the same ballpark.
2013,
but
you had Crabtree coming back from the Achilles tendon, which he wasn't 100%. And Quan Bolden was having a phenomenal season. But it was sort of the end of Frank Gore in his prime days as a running back with the Niners. You had Kaepernick, who struggled that season at times. And that was a team that was led by the defense. This offense is light years better than that offense in 2013. Not even close.
I mean, the names certainly don't measure up, and part of that is history, but no, that's been the crazy part about this group is it, like, all the questions about Brock Purdy coming into the year were, okay, well, what is he going to do when he doesn't have the Avengers? And the early returns weren't great. I know they won in Seattle, but it was a close game. 50-50 ball to Tonjes changes that game. Bosa's late sack changes that game. He comes back against Jacksonville. It looks kind of like a pumpkin. Yeah. And then now, I don't know about you, but it's like, not completely because you never can tell, but it feels like Brock Purdy is starting to dismiss all of those stories, is sort of those feelings about him needing Debo, Ayuk, McCaffrey, yep, Kittle, and Trent to just be great.
Mm-hmm. Nah, he's right. I, also, another takeaway there, because I want to follow up on that, Evan, because those guys need to be great for this team to achieve great things in the postseason. There's no doubt. But the fact that you can blitz Sam Darnold, and at times last week against the Chicago Bears, Robert Saleh had some very well-timed blitzes at the right time. Now, they got cooked for 38 points. You can't overlook that. And Caleb was putting on the show. I mean, some of those throws that Chambliss made last night for Ole Miss, Trinidad Chambliss, like, I saw that from Caleb last Sunday at Levi Stadium. I was like, wow, look at that throw. Look at that throw to Burton, deep in the end zone, Loveland, you name it. They're going to have to blitz Darnold a little bit. But those guys that you mentioned, Evan, yes, they have to be great. They have to be great for this team to achieve great things. There's no doubt about it, because to drop off from the greatness on this team, the top heavy players, to some of the guys who are playing roles, it's a massive drop off. It's like an NBA team. The star players are out. We're going to see it tonight with the Warriors. What's the drop off look like without Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond? I think we all know the answer to that. But can you at least be competitive and hold steady? But when you don't have none of those guys, it's a problem. At least they got some of these guys, Evan.
Well, and that is the news tonight for the Warriors, that Steph, Draymond, and Butler are out against the Oklahoma City Thunder. That game, obviously, 6 o'clock. Warriors Live starts at 7 o'clock. Warriors Live starts at 6. But, you know, for the Niners and their massive showdown tomorrow, the one thing that hit me was a guy like Softy saying that this is the second biggest game in their storied rivalry. Obviously, 2013 surpasses everything because that's for the Super Bowl. And in hindsight, probably a game that the Niners go win the Super Bowl, because Seattle absolutely dominated Denver, and the Niners are right there in that football game that came down to the wire. This one, I don't know. Like, do you have 2019 higher than this game? And going into it, obviously the result, the ending of 2019 was so spectacular that it's tough to top, especially on the road. But, I mean, the one seed, especially when you're hosting the Super Bowl later on, it matters, man.
It matters. It doesn't have that hype yet. I think the short week hurts. I think the holidays, like, even though that game obviously happened during the holiday season, there's the Russell Wilson factor, there's the Pete Carroll factor, and there's the aspect that, hey, they haven't won in Seattle since 2011. And that's what you have to do to get the number one seed and a bye week. And you had Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan, and it was their first time under the bright lights with that football team. Dre Greenlaw really stepping up for Quan Alexander. Remember, he wasn't supposed to be a starter. Quan Alexander was a starter next to Fred Warner. Quan got hurt midway through, and Dre Greenlaw took that spot. You had Bosa in his rookie season, but there was so much drama that was built in because the Seahawks had so many of those guys from the yesteryear, Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, of course, and Bobby Wagner, I believe, was still on that football team. This year, because of all the injuries, and because it is Sam Darnold, who's kind of bland when it comes to the media, stuff like that, doesn't have the personality that Russell Wilson has. It doesn't have the hype yet that 2019 game had, but boy, by the time it kicks off tomorrow with Buck and Aikman, that hype may be there because we know what's on the line.
I mean, I think yes, Baltimore-Pittsburgh is for a playoff berth. But the one seed, you know, the
division title?
The two times the Niners have been to the Super Bowl, and I know they haven't hoisted a trophy, but they were the one seed.
They were the top dogs.
They've shown that they can win two games every time they get to the dance. And man, if they do win tomorrow, they'll have a pretty good shot.
You know, Chicago Jason, I know we got to leave here, but Chicago Jason, our YouTube, he asked me the last time I was on a roast, you believe the Niners can win 10 straight? Because that's what it'd take to win the Super Bowl.
I didn't think they'd be 12-4, so why the hell not?
Well, but then I look at it like this. If you do win tomorrow night, you get a bye week, reset, and you've got two games to win to get to the Super Bowl. And if you win those two games, boom, you get another bye week. And so you got extra time to game plan, you're at home. So, yes, it's doable. But when you look at it from afar, saying 10 straight to end the season with this team, yeah, it seems a little far-fetched.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I do. But I'm going to tell you why. Ooh, on the other side.
Ooh,
and that's what's coming up on the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. That segment sponsored by Bay Area Fast Track. It's the biggest game of the year on Saturday, tomorrow, Levi's, Niners, Seahawks. You know where we're going to watch it and hang out before the game. The kickoff show with Lorenzo Neal and I is at Laughing Monk Brewing right down the road. If you're going to the game, we got a free shuttle back and forth. Just go to 957thegame.com to get your spot, and you better do it quick because seats are going fast. Again, Evan Giddings, Bonte Hill, Infrastanding Guru, back after this, all brought to you by Bay Area Fast Track.
Free advice from me to you.
Hit me.
Whatever Bonte does, just do the opposite. I mean, I know it's not as bad as that guy in the morning. What's his name? Barbie Boy? Whatever the hell his name is.
Leave him alone.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, man.
Hey, Evan, why would y'all do that?
Pasta,
That's all on pasta. Shasky, if you're listening, because I know you are, that's on pasta. Your Reardon brother
who did that. Taking
shots. And I had your back. So don't come. When Shasky gets back here, when's he back? Monday?
Probably.
Shasky's
on the golf course right now.
Oh, he's got his ear to the street. Trust me.
I guess it's all right.
He's
It'll
got
be
his ear
tomorrow.
To the street. Listen, somehow, some way, he's going to blame me for that. So just know, Shasky, I had nothing to do with that, and I had your back.
Big thanks for Softy to come on the show.
Thanks for Pasta diamond us out.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's not raining right now.
It's not as bad as that guy in the morning. What's his name? Barbie Boy?
Okay, just leave it in the past. Stop while you're ahead.
Dude, pasta, man.
Oh, pasta.
I got nothing to do with that.
Home training.
Got nothing to do with that.
Lack thereof. Good Lord. All right. Niners, Seahawks tomorrow. Warriors, Thunder tonight. Santa Cruz Warriors tonight. No Curry, no Butler, no Green.
He doesn't know where to go. He's rattled.
A little bit. Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Tease?
Yeah, give me a tease.
Sorry. Damn it.
I am the. You can ask Devone this on the weekend. I'm the king of teasing something and not getting to it. Yeah, I'm all over the place. Oh, this is what I was going to say. So you asked me, and this was from, I think, the chat. Could you see the Niners winning 10 straight games?
Chicago Jason. Yeah.
Could you see the Niners winning 10 straight games? If they win tomorrow, the answer is yes. And the reason why is technically it's 10 in a row. But in reality, you won 3, you had a bye. You won 4, you had a bye. And then you win 3, you win the Super Bowl. You didn't really have to win 10 straight weeks. Ooh. You won 10 straight games over 13 straight weeks. That's why you can win 10 in a row.
Well, I thought you was going to break it down. You get the bye week if you win tomorrow. You win 2.
And you get the bye week before the Super Bowl. You took it a step further. That's why they can win 10 in a row.
Wow. Look at that.
A little bit of rest. Look at that. A little bit of home cooking. And the whole point is you don't have to go anywhere.
You don't have to go.
You don't have to go anywhere.
We don't have to go anywhere for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we got to go somewhere in about 20 minutes, but this show's been flying, by the way.
It's been a lot of fun. Yeah, a lot of fun. It's good to be back at 95.7 The Game. All the great takes with the roasters. I interject with the chat. The chat's always fun. I see some of the same crew in there, and they're always fun. They're always challenging. But, you know, it's a great time to be a Bay Area sports fan. You got drama and you got action. Like, what's going to happen with the Warriors? What are they going to look like in a month?
According to Steve Kerr, doesn't feel like they need any answers.
Who knows?
So.
Things change quickly in pro sports.
Yeah.
You know, what are the Niners? Where are they going to be at a month from now? Is the season going to be over? Are they going to be playing? What's it going to look like with Brock Purdy over the next few weeks? You know, is Shanahan going to hoist that Lombardi in his home stadium? You got the Sharks, Macklin Celebrini being named the Team Canada, youngest player ever. He's got over 60 points already.
And on that same night, I think he had the game winner in the shootout.
No doubt.
Yeah, we got a lot of them in the Bay Area.
With the Giants and a lot of inactivity with the Giants, but you know what? There's some intrigue there. What the hell's going to happen with the
Giants?
Yeah,
you guys got a pitcher, so I don't know. He can throw a baseball. Bonte, I wanted to ask you this, though.
Yep.
Do you think Brock Purdy is playing better right now than he played in 2023 when he was a top 5 MVP candidate?
It's a great question. I think he's playing at that level. Is it better? I would see why people will say it's better because they haven't seen it for a while. They got small doses of 2024. The Rams game at SoFi Stadium early in the season, in which they lost and gave the Rams life. The Tampa Bay game, we all remember that. We don't remember it for Brock Purdy throwing for 353 yards. We remember that game because Deebo Samuel almost choked out Tabor Pepper and Jake Moody. And Jake Moody missed 3 kicks, right? So he showed us glimpses. But since we haven't seen it for a while, I understand why a lot of people would say, damn, Brock Purdy's playing the best football of his career. I think he's playing at that level in 2023 when he was slicing and dicing the league up.
I like that answer because, to be honest, that level is that's pretty freaking high.
It's high.
I mean, all the statistics, the analytics told you that he was a top two quarterback in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did, I mean, he reset Niners passing records, reset Joe Montana, Steve Young, regular season, mind you. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you. Like I do think that this year we've seen more of the kind of the glitz and the glam, the mad dashes, the extension, the improvisation. But from the pocket, he was surgical that year. I think it might look a little bit better just because of the cast around him. But you're right.
And that too. The cast around him is not the same, right? Pearsall's been in and out the lineup. Kittle's been in and out the lineup. But the mainstay, and one guy we haven't talked about enough today, and I know it's been flying. We've had Steve Kerr on. We've had Softy Mahler on. We talked Shanahan. We talked Darnold. We talked Purdy. But the difference in Purdy, I think, this year, or actually not even a difference, the reason why he's completing 69% of his passes like he did in 2023 is Christopher McCaffrey's back. The ultimate safety valve is back in the lineup. And they did not have McCaffrey last season. Not the McCaffrey that we knew from 2023. Not the McCaffrey that we knew from Stanford. Not the McCaffrey that we knew in Carolina when he went 1,000-1,000. McCaffrey's back. And he's played in every single game. And a lot of people are saying, oh, he's washed. I remember, Evan, we talked in training camp. I talked to the boys in the morning. They're like, how does McCaffrey look? He looks like he lost a step. I said, I don't know who's saying that. Because to me, McCaffrey looks like McCaffrey. That's back in August. Early in my career, we talked about, you know, getting tips and mentors, and I was around Larry Kruger a lot at Stanford when he would do the pregame show for the Stanford Cardinal. And I went to a lot of those games with Christian McCaffrey. And Christian McCaffrey now, sure, he's probably not as explosive as the days at Stanford in his younger career. But it's the same old McCaffrey to me in terms of we're going to get production in a run game. He's going to catch a lot of passes out the backfield. He's going to make people miss, and he's going to move the sticks. And that, to me, is the difference. And against Seattle, he's had over 100 scrimmage yards, I believe, in every game against Seattle since he's been a Niner. And that is the guy we're not talking about enough. And that's the guy who should get some MVP votes and maybe an Offensive Player of the Year award. He's definitely getting a Comeback Player of the Year, right? He would have to be in a lead for that category. We're not talking enough about Christian McCaffrey and how much he helps and alleviates some of the, you know, some of the challenges that Brock Purdy may have in the pocket.
Yeah, he's touched the ball 399 times.
That's crazy.
And he's still got a game left. Oh, all right. Let's wrap up here just because we got to get to the crossover in a minute. I want to squeeze Rich and Fremont in if we can, Pasta. Yep. Rich, your last call today. What's going on? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. And great show today, guys. I know you guys are filling in, but it didn't feel like somebody was getting filled in. Felt like you guys were coasting, man. Love the show.
Appreciate that, Rich.
Thank you.
Vontae, again, thanks for being on my podcast before, man. That was so cool of you. Appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, that was a while ago, man. That was years.
Yeah, it was. But it was cool, man. I appreciate you doing that.
Absolutely.
I got a different take on this Niner team. I believe that defense is going to wake up tomorrow. I honestly believe that. And the reason why I believe that is because when you watch the NFL, like we've been watching it, over time, teams just get better with each game. And the thing about Salah that I love, this guy loves putting together packages in the moment. He's very, very good at doing that. That's the one single thing that he does very well. And I just got a feeling, man, that this game tomorrow, it's going to be a game where everybody's looking at the offense and thinking the offense is going to do this. But, hey, you know what? Watch that defense tomorrow.
I got you, Rich. Well, we can talk about that in the keys to tomorrow with two of the biggest Niners fans coming up because they got you from 2 to 6 as well as the crossover with us next. That's Mark Grandy and Sterling Bennett. So Bonta Hill and Evan Giddings in for Stein and Guru. We're going to take a break, come back to crossover. We got What's Bugging You coming up at 2 o'clock brought to you by ATCO. But in the meantime, what's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. And the Golden State Warriors are back. Cheer on your Warriors with an ice-cold Surfside. Only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and 0 bubbles, so it's easy to sip and easy to enjoy. It's not a seltzer, it's Surfside. Proud partner of the Golden State Warriors, must be 21. Please drink responsibly. Crossover next on 95.7 The Game.